one thing, I want to definitely dive into the power of organic social. I think that's something we need to unpack together. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit more about your business and what you, because you share some things that worked and some things that don't. Hey everybody, welcome to Run Lead Gen Radio, your go-to podcast for all things digital marketing and growing your business with your hosts, Quinn
and Brian.
And today we have John with Timp Top Local Marketing, and we're super excited to talk with him. Obviously, we love talking marketing. We love to have other marketers with us. And so let's start with you, John. Tell us a little bit about you, what you're doing. Give us a little intro.
Yeah, so I'm from Heber City, and I run a little company, Timp Top Local Marketing. It's kind of a mom and pop operation, but we've been running for about 2 years now.
Nice.
Full time in the business. And we focus primarily on organic social media marketing.
Love it.
Our bread and butter is just small businesses trying to help people get a consistent and relatable social presence on both Facebook, Instagram. And our key is Facebook local groups, trying to really hone in on what's your local target market, right? What good is 1,000 followers in New York City if you're in Albuquerque and you only serve the Albuquerque area, right? So trying to really target into, you know, your audience.
I love that.
I actually wanted to ask you something about that, because I know, so around here, Stansbury Park, they've got a local Facebook group, and the engagement on it is very high.
Yeah.
But so then there's a Tooele one as well, which is basically we're in Tooele, and the process for getting into those groups, is that really challenging?
It can be. It really depends on your local area. When I started, I was primarily just my hometown. And so I knew all the admins, I knew everybody. And it was just kind of this agreement where it's like, hey, let me into these groups of some of these businesses, and I promise you're not going to regret it. But when we started branching out, like you and I were talking the other day about, we have a customer in Gillette, Wyoming, and getting into those local groups, it wasn't as tough as we thought. And there's a very key way of doing it, and there's a very key way of putting your business posts in there without it being spam and driving everybody crazy. And all it's right. Taken us a minute to perfect that, obviously, but it's actually turned out really, really good.
Awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was wondering if you would run into trouble with places like, hey, you got here and now you're just marketing to us or anything like that. So probably requires quite a bit of engagement, I'm guessing.
Paying attention is a big part of it, right? There's a lot of people who are, when they take over posts for businesses, it's just kind of post it, forget it. The rest of it's the business's problem. And that's not the way we operate at all. It's doing a lot of listening as well, social listening, and making sure that, like, when you're posting something, what's the reaction to that? If you start getting people who aren't fans of it and leaving negative comments, paying attention to that and giving back more than you're taking. If all you're doing is just posting, buy me, buy me, buy me, yeah, absolutely, you're going to run into some problems. But if you're putting more back into the community than you're taking, you get genuinely better results.
Yeah, we talked about it on the last episode, and it's kind of been one of our things. It's this
giver's gain. That's yes. Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we have, we told you a little bit about it. Our tap to review cards that we give out.
Yes. I love those.
And yeah, that's, I love to see more and more businesses that are taking that approach, because I think it just makes a better world to live in and less spammy feel. And it's,
yeah, I feel like at the end of the day, if you're looking to grow a business over time, you're in it for the long haul. Yeah. That's the strategy. You have to build relationships. You have to build a business. And so many businesses that I've seen are trying this run and gun. They want to just build it fast and sell it. This is a really tricky place to be, because, you know, you don't have that authority, that time to build, right? So,
yeah. And can I share with you my failure that really brought
please,
me to?
Yeah.
One of my very first clients was an HVAC guy. And when I started taking over his social media, I was doing different varieties of posts. And he came to me one day and says, I don't want you wasting my time. I want everything to sell something. Every post you make, I want something to be for sale. And I just kind of looked at him like, okay, if that's what you want, like, that's what I'll do. Like, I'm not going to argue with him, right? He's paying me to do what he wants me to do.
Right.
And so for the longest time, all it was you know, preventative maintenance plans, buy this, buy that. And it was just nothing but sales posts. And we watched his reach drop down to just double digits. Like, it was scary. And when he got frustrated and upset, this was about the same point that I had started getting into the marketing. I'm trying to think of how to put this. One of my other customers was taking that Goldman Sachs 50,000 Small Businesses course.
Uh-huh.
And he brought me the entire social media binder and laid it out in front of me. And it was funny because everything they were saying to do in there is what my wife and I had been talking about. Like, you can't just do this. So I went with him and I finally had the verifiable evidence from somebody better than myself to lay in front of him and be like, look, you were doing a lot better when we were doing the fun posts and the funny posts and the showing you active in the community posts. We switched that and it was night and day difference. Within, you know, within 90 days, we watched his engagement climb back up. He started getting back those phone calls. And it's more important now to our community to see what he's actually doing versus, hey, I got the special going. And don't get me wrong, promotionals are important.
Sure.
But it's more of a, you know, jab, jab, punch. Like, give a little bit. Okay, let me show you what else I'm doing. And the better part of it is when they're noticing all the good you're doing and that you're actually giving back to your community, not just taking, the minute they have a problem with their HVAC system, he's the first guy they call because they remembered that funny joke or they saw him at the, I think they do it here. They should because it's Utah, but they do livestock auctions for 4-H and youth.
Yeah.
So many families remember that you're there buying a cow or a pig.
Sure. Wow. So I want to definitely dive into the power of organic social. I think that's something we need to unpack together. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit more about your business and what you, because you share some things that worked and some things that don't. I feel that all too often, and this is anybody's business, right? You have to find a balance of giving the customer what they want.
Right.
But then giving the customer what they need, you know? Yes. And so this is a hard thing that we've had to deal with in the 2 years that we've been business owners as well. We cannot just bend over and placate because we know what's best for you. Right. And so it's such a tricky balance when the customer comes in and says, I want this. And you know, that's not in their best interest. How have you navigated that in addition to this story? How do you help them when they're so adamant about what they want? Yeah.
It's easier to do now 2 years later than it was when I first started. Right. It's because I have verifiable evidence and I can talk from a standpoint of like, hey, I've been here and done this. And I can tell you it's not the road. It's important to understand that not every customer is for you. If all they're wanting is just sell. And I tell them this upfront, even if it's self-deprecating, mm-hmm. that like, it's just not the way. Being able to show them real-time results and show them what I am doing and how it's working for others is a great way. There has been times where I've brought another business owner with me. Like if we're hitting a brick wall and like head to head with like, I can't do this. I can't keep doing this. Bringing another business owner with me that says, hey, you know, I let loose and trusted John a little bit. And this is what happened for me. That's been my best is giving people references and letting people talk to other people who have had the positive success with me.
And so is that, as far as how you get new clients, is that primarily through referrals or how do you market to new people?
Yeah, we've been incredibly lucky that we've been word of mouth for most of my stuff. Like the gentleman I got in Wyoming, it seems crazy, but I had an electrician from Heber Valley post into his electricians group, like, hey, my social media guy's killing it for me. This is what he's been doing. That guy called me and I didn't sell him the first time. He called me, we had a long conversation, and it was about a year later that he called me back and said, hey, we need to have a talk because I went and got quotes for what you're doing, and they were 3 times your price, and they don't have the same background you're having. And so when he came back to me, we started working for him, and he's the happiest he's ever been. He's my number one referrer right now.
Oh, I love that.
Like if anybody has questions, I give them his number, and he's always there to advocate for me. And he sent me business left and right from Gillette. I haven't picked up any of those ones yet because, you know, being just a mom and pop operation, we're limited on who we can take. So I put them in the pipeline and hopefully they're still there if I need them.
Yeah.
Right?
I love that. Are you doing any organic social for your business?
We do a little bit and we like to, I use my platform to shine lights on other businesses. And it seems a little silly, but it's effective.
Yeah.
We have a group in my area called Heber Valley Businesses. And once a week, I'm doing either live streams or I'm doing pre-recorded videos of interviews with business owners and just sharing what they do. And those tend to go over really well. We do these little like what's going on in the Valley posts or what's going on here posts and sharing local events that are coming up, school events, local plays, farmers markets and whatever. We try to use our platform for a little more than just ourselves. I do post reviews on mine every Wednesday, and that's about the only time I ever talk about my own business.
Okay. So I want to dive into organic social, right? Yes. Obviously, so we share a little bit of similarities. We don't particularly sell organic social as one of our services. Our bread and butter is organic search, but there's so much bleed. There's so much similarities in that we have to create valuable, authentic content.
Yes.
So talk to me about how are you creating content for people? What should business owners be considering when creating organic social content?
The first thing we do is we meet the business owners. I don't mind dealing with managers, but we meet the business owners and we have long conversations and we go out to lunch and I get to know who they are, how they are, their philosophy. My most important thing that I like to learn about businesses are their core values. You know, if your core values are honesty, integrity, reliability and accountability, like knowing that knows how you want me to portray you to your followers.
Sure.
You know, if you're thinking about really improving your organic social media, make sure you're sharing who you are and what's behind it. People are more prone to buy from people right? Not from companies, from people. If you're a big box store and you're everywhere and all you're showing is, you know, we do this for business, we do this for business, that's one thing. But if you're showing that you're part of a community, that you're a small business owner that, you know, I don't even know how to put this. Like the goal for a business is to make money. But if that's your only goal, I think people can tell.
Yeah.
I think my favorite businesses and my business that I've seen the most success are ones that have seen a problem in the community, know where it needs to be solved, and they solve that problem. Whether that's just being an HVAC guy with integrity, an electrician that isn't always too busy to take on the small tasks. One of my electricians, his problem that he saw was electricians don't answer the phone. They don't call back or they'll set an appointment with you and you're lucky if they show up and don't reschedule. He answers the phone every time himself personally. He calls back if there's a voicemail. If there's an appointment, he's going to be there. Those are the important things to make sure that you're sharing with your followers is that you're solving the problem that they probably see as well.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It definitely does. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. And so for our business, we've seen the same thing where we're in the digital marketing industry, especially in the space where we're at more tied in with search and in particular website development, is there's this problem where businesses don't actually own their assets. We see way more than we would have ever have imagined. Where if you're all of a sudden trying to do something, it's actually, you don't own your website. You can't just do whatever you want. You can't take it whatever you want. You can't change whatever you want. And so all the money you've put into it, it's only for while you're with us on our platform.
Yeah.
And even to the point where I've actually seen it on ad accounts as well. We've seen that it's on crazy. Facebook ad accounts as well. So all it's the crazy. Money you've put into learning and growing your audience, that it doesn't come with you. And so that's one of the problems that we've seen, that we said, okay, this is a problem that we can solve for people outside of just helping them with their marketing. And so I love hearing that and seeing more people getting on that path of, hey, let's solve this problem. And I think you're solving that problem on organic social, because from what I see from a lot of companies are basically like flyers. And so that's really cool to hear.
Yeah. I think it comes back to, there is a common theme. We hear a lot of businesses that are just like, we got to grow. We got to grow up by 300% in 3 weeks. And it's like, people have just got to get their expectations clear on what it takes to grow a business. And I think it's partially because we're in Utah, the small business capital of the world. There's so many small businesses coming up and everybody wants to make it, and everybody wants to make it fast. It gets really competitive. But ultimately, like, there has to be, and I hope podcasts like ours and other around help give this clear expectation that growing your business is not a magical thing. It takes time. It takes effort. And you've got to put in the authentic stuff. And that means showing who you are. That means letting people connect with you. That means building community, right? Yeah.
Authenticity. And I'm going to make 2 points with that. Number one is if you're coming across a social media marketing company that's telling you, oh yeah, by 3 weeks, I'll have you 100,000 followers and crazy engagement, you don't want to go with that company, I promise you. They're going to buy your followers. They're going to buy your engagement. You're going to get 100,000 followers overnight, and it's going to seem surreal, right? But what it's going to do is when you stop working with them and giving them money, they stop buying that type of stuff, and then your page is dead. If you have one of those companies that's out there and you know you grew really fast and it seems weird, check who's been following you. Because I ended up taking over an account from somebody who bought 100,000 followers. And when you go through them, they're all from like Pakistan or Afghanistan. They're all these weird profiles that are just bots. They just bought a bunch of bots to like, to comment, and to follow. And when you try to take over organic social media after that, that page is dead for at least 6 months. At least 6 months until you start filtering out all of the bots, getting rid of them, and start bringing in actual people.
This is a recurring theme for our business as well. People buy backlinks. People buy. There's so many ways to skirt the system, the black hat stuff. And everybody says, and they always compare our work to, say, a competitor who's on a plan like that. And it's actually candy to my ears because I'm just like, I cannot tell you how bad that is, because if they get any sort of manual pen, which they will, they'll get a penalty, a manual penalty that, you know, it becomes blacklisted. You can't save a domain. And now with some, you know, the email and the SMS regulations in place, if you muddy up a domain, if you muddy up a Facebook account, you're lucky to get it back at all ever, because you've really just screwed the pooch on it. So we can't say it enough. We can't agree with you enough to say that you've got to build the real
realistic
thing.
Expectations.
You got to.
And no shortcuts. There's not shortcuts. Anything organic, right? And yeah, I guess you probably don't get a lot of new business for an electrician in Wyoming if everybody that's following is from Pakistan.
Exactly. I mean, it looks good, right? You open it up and you see 100 likes on a post. You're like, oh, you know, that's great. They liked it. And I have the worst sales pitch. When I sit down with a business owner, I'll tell them all the time, some of my most effective posts had maybe 2 or 3 likes. And my same HVAC guy that I was talking about earlier, he was doing 2 radiant heaters in somebody's garage. And we took a picture of him putting them up. We took a picture of the mountains outside, posted it, and I think it's like 2 likes across the board. It didn't look like it performed very well. But he got 4 calls that week for that same exact service.
Love it.
People saying, oh, I need that. I thought that was ridiculously awesome. And it's the worst sales pitch in the world. The minute like you walk down and you sit in front of a business owner like, yeah, my best ones sometimes don't have that many likes. They're like, this guy's probably talking crazy. But yeah. I can't explain that.
Sure. Okay, well, let's do this. I want to talk a little bit about like your business specifically. Yes. You said it's been around 2 years.
Yep.
Tell us something that was difficult that you surpassed. Let's start with that. What's one of we've got business owners listening in. We've got marketers listening in. You built a business. What was something that was just, it was a pain in your butt. You got past it.
You know, I think the first biggest hurdle I had was when to jump in full time. And I regret not doing it sooner. I can't tell you how many times people reach out to me now like, hey, how did you know when to jump? How did you know when to jump into this? And for me, I got lucky because I got laid off. And within that week, I doubled my business after being laid off. I wish I'd have done that sooner.
And such a common thing we hear.
Yeah. I really wish I'd done that sooner. The other thing is being a yes man. I'm a people person and I love to make people happy. And when I first started my business, it was, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I'll do that. If I can't do it, I'll figure it out. Learning to set boundaries and look at somebody and say, hey, that's outside of my scope. One of my first clients that I picked up, they wanted me to go to every business within this little area and drop off his business cards. And I think that's when it hit me in the back of the head, like, hey, you're giving too much. And I don't mind giving as much as I can to somebody, but sure, I need to stay within my bounds, because if I do a half-assed job on one thing so I can do another, I'm not doing a full service to them. I needed to not be a yes man and learn how to say no. that was the biggest thing that I overcame, was worrying about people pleasing and not worry about doing my job.
This is tough. This is, I mean, these are great.
I struggle with it still.
I think we give away a lot of free work, not because we don't value ourselves, but because we are also just trying to do anything we can to be a partner. And there, we are still learning how to do this. So I tell people today, if you jump on and you're a partner with us today, you're going to get way more out of it than the guys that are jumping with us in a year from now, when we've learned how to manage this better and how to make sure that we are fulfilling really, you know, I guess methodical and processed, right? Because right now we are giving a lot away and we're happy to do that. But yeah, I think we
doesn't
we
scale very that. Well. You can't for sure. do that There's for everyone.
Though, right. There's a balance though. Right. And I think a lot of people, I've been fortunate enough that some of the business owners kind of recognize like, oh, he is willing to go the extra mile. And there's some that want to keep asking for more and there's some that don't. And you learn over time which one's which, right? We do something in my business that my wife loves doing this. She calls it the DocuSpa, where we've taken over the social media. We've kind of done a lot of the branding aspect of it. And your documents, we want your documents to match that overall feel from the moment they click onto your social media to the moment you're handing them contracts and stuff. We try to make it all look and flow the same.
Cohesive,
that way
it's from
top to bottom. And that's just something that's included in the package. My wife loves doing that. And we don't charge extra for it. Like if we're printing off of like 1,000 flyers, yeah, you're going to pay for the 1,000 flyers. Sure. But when we make the flyers to do that, we haven't ever added an extra cost just because it's something that we love to do. And we consider it being a part of that business and helping that business.
Yeah. Awesome. So there are many businesses that don't make it, right? I think we were talking about this and you'll have to tell us the concept of a try.
Oh yeah. So my dad is from Finland, and for the first 7 years, they actually you're not registered as an actual business there. The translation comes to, you're still a try until you've been around for 7 years.
7 years.
Like yeah. The word for the business in that period of time is like a try.
Yes.
And so there are so many people that do just try and fail. What's a good piece of advice coming from not only a social media marketer, but somebody who's built a business and you're thriving? How do we get past the try? How do we get, I mean, when did you feel like you made it? And maybe you feel like you're still hustling, because we're definitely hustling right now, right? What makes you feel like you got past the try? You're there. You solidified it. You made it.
You know, before we started rolling, we had a conversation about offices. Mm-hmm. And when I was sitting in my office that I had, I felt less secure in my role than I do now without an office.
Nice.
And I think a lot of it has to do with, for me to do my job successfully, I don't necessarily need an office. I need myself and I need my drive. And I think looking back at having more successes than I've had losses, having more people give me good reviews, I don't have a single bad review, and I'm incredibly lucky for that.
It's a tricky question.
It really is, because complacency is the death of progress.
Sure.
And so I don't want to be like, oh, I made it, I can coast. Because the minute I start coasting, things go wrong.
That's right.
But I've got a good business, and I've got more customers than I can serve, right? I got more people wanting to join my business than I can serve. And we've talked about hiring. We've talked about doing a lot of different things, but I think it's important for every business owner to know, like, everybody's got that, what is it called?
I mean, it's a bit of a dance. You've got
fake it till you make it, that mentality. Like,
sure. The imposter syndrome.
That's exactly what I'm looking for. Yeah. Imposter syndrome. Everybody's got that at first. And I know people who've been in business for 10 years that still have it.
Yeah.
One of my best friends has owned a business for over 7 years. He's making over $1 million a year. He has it. He says, I will sit in front of a room full of people. Most of these people are just doing startups. And he's like, I feel inadequate when I hear them talk about it. And it's because they have so much passion. And he's been there for so long that passion and drive are one thing, but he just gets up and does his job now. Everybody's got that imposter syndrome. Work through it.
Yeah.
Even if you're brand new at what you do, everybody started somewhere. And as long as you're doing more good than doing harm, keep going.
I love that. That's fantastic advice. Yeah.
The keep going, that's another common theme that we hear is, you know, through the headwinds, that if you really want to make it, some of those big wins are just right around that corner and to keep going in those headwinds. So.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm going to make up statistics as people do. I think I've heard something around the lines of, and at one point I did know the statistic. It was like in the first 2 years of a business, there is like 90% of businesses don't make it or something, you know, it's a high percentage.
It really is.
So it's like 70% in the first, and then by year five, you're essentially like one in 10 business that has made it to year five. And I think if I had to say anything about it, it is just the concept of keep on keeping on. My dad always says, keep on keeping on, because you just got to solve one problem at a time.
Yep.
And I feel like, because it is a bit of an ironic question. I don't feel like we've made it. We're hustling.
Yes.
But I feel like when things changed from like, hey, this is kind of a side business, or, you know, to a full fledged, we're all in, number one, going all in. That was a big move for us both. But then I think it's processes. It's processes of people and product. And I just made that up. Those are now our three P's. I think once we had those three things, it felt like we had not only something that we could offer standardized, but it was easier for us to communicate to clients. It was just, everything got cleaner.
Helps with expectations, helps with so many things.
Yeah.
When we started, and there'll still be times when there's a whole bunch of things to do and you could go any single direction and you're trying to run the business and things start getting frantic, I found setting a specific goal and just focusing on that goal really helped narrow everything down and run the business smoother. Like if I know there's a specific measurable goal, that's when I thrived the most.
I love it.
That's actually a question I wanted to ask, and I don't know. It seems like it'd be something really hard to do for organic social outside of like actual post engagement, but sure. how do you measure success for your clients?
That's a tough one.
Yeah,
that really is, because, you know, I can say like, oh, you've got X amount of views, and then they're going to say, well, I've only got X amount of likes, or they have like, that's a really tough one. My measure, and like, I'll show them anything. Anybody's got any questions, I'll go show them the metrics, the analytics, and we'll have that conversation. My measure for success is, you know, how many phone calls they get, how many people walk through the door. And the hard thing is like, not everybody's going to tell you when they get that sell, like where that came from. And sometimes like, it's as simple as like, oh, I saw them in a magazine. I saw them on a billboard. I saw them on TV. I saw them on a podcast. Then I saw their social media. It's hard to gather where that one sell came from.
Yeah.
But like, I've got people who say like, you know, I have three different customers that we do Funny Fridays for. We either do memes or reels or something to make people laugh. And I've got people say like, people tune into my page just for that. Like, that's awesome to me, but they'll know, you know what I mean? As soon as it kicks in and they start realizing like, they know. My guy from Wyoming, I can't point like, oh, he's had this many clicks. Oh, he's had this many phone calls. Oh, he's had this many, but he's seeing the results. I don't really have a great answer for that.
It's a little nuanced for sure. And I think this is a tricky space because, man, we feel we've got a show, we've got to prove. And to the jury, we would agree, you know, there is value in being able to prove, and there's some technicality there and for us to show conversions. But all too often, I feel like even when things are progressing, if we don't have some of those metrics in place, despite them feeling maybe increase, we just get we kind of say cry poor, right? It's like, unless we can show growth, that's been a tricky space for us, because everybody wants to say it's not working. It's easy to say it's not working. And so this has been a tricky space for us to be able to show. We want to be able to show not only kind of those nuanced observational wins. We want to show them, right? And so that's a tricky space.
There's also another aspect to this too. When we talk about realistic expectations, organic social media isn't just about the sales. It's about building awareness in the community that you're there, showing a specific aspect. But, you know, it's not just how many people you can sell to, but how many, my HVAC guy gets a ton of people who check in like, hey, are you hiring? Creating a feel around your business that people want to be a part of, whether that's just referring you in other posts, whether that's people who want to come and work for your business, but building that aspect, like that to me is a success as well. Seeing how many people want to work for a company because of how good they look on their social media.
Yeah.
I know that in particular for the HVAC and like plumbing, some of those spaces, getting guys hired is a big challenge. And there's
the right,
I've seen advertising budgets go behind trying to hire in those spaces. So that's really cool. And I don't want to skip around too much, but while this is on my mind, can you give, so any business owners that are out there, give us a couple tips of doing an organic social post, that's going to be of value. So whether it's engaging with the community or just like from, what are some things that people should be including to help get more out of that?
It's a really great question. We've set 6 different subjects, and you know what, if you guys don't mind, please, before I leave here, I'll send you guys an email with one of our proposals so you can kind of see what goes behind it.
Yeah.
6 different subjects to be posting on. Obviously one's promotional, one's educational, one's entertainment. There's 6 of them that we cycle through and set a content schedule. If you, you know, obviously we've talked about, you know, don't sell, 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 don't sell, sell, sell. But if you're out in the community and you meet another business owner, take a quick selfie with them and post it. Say, hey, met this guy. He's pretty cool. Watch what he was doing for work. If you're doing something fun for your employees, take pictures and post them. Show that you're more than just a sell, sell, sell business. Show that you're actually giving back to your people. If you're doing charities, if you're doing whatever, post about it. Pay attention to what your photo is too. That to me, you know, watching people take photos and it's like what you're there wanting you to see is in like the top right hand corner, but all you're really seeing is like a dirty parking lot and the rest of the photo, yeah, right? Focus on your subject.
Details matter.
Details absolutely matter. Yeah.
And I would go as far to say as that details make the difference, right? Without the proof is in the pudding, right? The details make all the difference. Without those details, I think ultimately it's just checking boxes and you won't see it.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think some of our favorite posts have been just pictures. You don't have to put too much in your pictures. Don't overthink it. Don't go to the over-canned templates in, you know, Canva or whatever the other ones are. Sometimes just a picture is worth 1,000 words, right? Do a picture of a before and after and don't worry about, I mean, sometimes you got to put logos on them. People steal photos a lot, but
yeah,
don't worry so much about that aspect of it, of making sure that your visual is coming across as you want it to.
Yeah.
Have somebody else check it out first.
Sweet. Well, we completely appreciate you coming out. This has been a fantastic conversation. Everybody that's listening, obviously organic social, think about it, do it, call John. And maybe John, as we sign off here, give us a little, little details on, how we can find you, how we get a hold of you, something to help us remember you by.
You can always, I'm on social media. Nice. Timp, T-I-M-P, top local marketing. Timp is kind of a playoff of the Mount Timpanogos here in Utah.
Yeah.
I was always worried that I was just going to be kind of niched because of that, but I don't think people care about that.
Sure.
Nobody else has really even questioned it. Timp, T-I-M-P, top local marketing, timptoplocalmarketing.com. Phone number is 435-709-5877.
Sweet.
Nice.
Well, awesome. If you guys want to be featured on this podcast, if you want to feature your business on this podcast, reach out to us. You can put it in the comments below. You can hit us up on our site, runleadgen.com. Ultimately, we are here to help you learn what's working for businesses that are growing, how to grow your business, how to grow your marketing career. So if this is the type of content that you're liking or that you know your friends or your other business owning friends might like, go ahead and like and subscribe and send it out to them so that they can also stay up on all the things, the latest things for digital marketing and grow your business. This is Run Lead Gen Radio, where we help you scale to success.